You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Anoni with her beautiful cover of Be My Husband by Nina Simone, of course. Before that, we were listening to Phoebs and Maxwell Owen with Come With The Rugger. You're on the 95BFM breakfast show. Morena, my name's Rachel. It's very nice to have you guys here. And on the line right now, we've got Paul Goldsmith from the National Party. Morena, Paul, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. What a bit of a weird morning we find ourselves in across the country today, especially people in Auckland. How are you getting on?
As everybody's sort of trying to digest the news that we've had, it's a very substantial shock, and we're working our way through that and trying to work out what it all means for us and our families and our businesses.
Yes, certainly. I'm sure lots of people are feeling a bit weird today. Judith Collins put a press release out last night saying that we'd been told we'd eliminated the virus, but we were told to expect a second outbreak, weren't we? So hopefully we get a bit of, we find out what's going on the next couple of days. But how is your party feeling at the moment?
Oh, look, I mean, I think like everybody, we're just trying to make sense of it and see what it means. Clearly it must have come through the border somehow, and how that happened is a fair question to ask. And so I think like most of us, we've all got questions. How's this happened? What's it going to mean? We're thinking of all the many people out there, cafes and restaurants have suddenly have to shut with very no warning. A lot of food will be wasted, and that's just the sort of the tip of the iceberg of the consequences of all this. And so we're working our way through that, and people will be rightly concerned. But obviously, we don't want to let the disease get out of control.
No.
So we're all trying to work out what it all means.
Well, let's talk about some other stuff. We've got National's debt reduction target. So last week, Stuff reported that you have a very ambitious plan to reduce core Crown debt to 30% of GDP over the next decade. Now, they've suggested this might be achieved by some far-reaching cuts, like reductions to superannuation fund and axing the fees free. Is this correct?
Well, first thing, when you say it's a very ambitious goal, it's actually modest and sensible. What we're saying is right now, and of course, what's happened this morning throws everything up in the air again. What we're saying right now is that you need to be government needs to be spending more and absolutely going into further debt. This is a rainy day. This is why we have relatively low levels of debt, so we can deal with the crisis. And the only point I was making is that if you're looking out 10, 15 years, you need to have a path to get back on top of the debt, because we need to be prepared for the inevitable next crisis that comes along. And so we set a path as an aim to get our debt back down again. And that wouldn't require slashing and burning and shutting down hospitals and things like that. It's not just a simple choice between spending colossal sums with no thought to who will pay it back and austerity on the other side. It's just a middle path of sensible, pragmatic approach, which is to say that rather than increasing government spending at quite the rate that the government has been planning to, we'll still increase it, but slightly more modestly, which is what you'd expect from a careful national government, which is focused on the results of government spending rather than just the large amount.
So what will be some of the strategies you would employ in order to keep spending down? If you've ruled out austerity, which I know you have, what would be some of those strategies you'd be employing?
Well, it's like what we did under John Key and Bill English to get on top of the $50 billion of debt we had for the global financial crisis and the Canterbury earthquakes, which is to say over 5 or 6 years, you're just more careful with your spending. You're not increasing it at quite the same rate
as you
might normally.
As you've pointed out, though, Paul, this is going to be an ongoing situation for the next wee while. So how do we keep it down while we also are going to inevitably have to spend more on healthcare and also climate change as well? We've seen a huge report last week that's showing it's going to be very expensive in the next couple of years.
And so, look, the point is that right here, right now, we have to spend what we need to get through the situation. And That's why we supported the wage subsidies and those things that have enabled families to keep going over. And so there's no debate around that, but you focus on making sure that you're getting good results from that spending, because ultimately, at some point, it does need to be paid back. That's the only point. And so right now, we need to be absolutely focused on effectively managing the border and keeping this disease at bay. And then having a plan to create, you know, to have an economy that's generating jobs. So, but, you know, this terrible uncertainty that we have at the moment will make it much harder, which is why it's so critical that we're doing everything we can to deal with that border effectively.
Would you be supportive of another wage subsidy scheme if it became a necessity?
Well, you definitely have to consider something like that if we went back into lockdown and businesses were told that they couldn't trade. In the interest of public health, but you know, that will be a calamity if we end up in that situation, and so we've got to do everything we possibly can to avoid it.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Auckland Central candidate selection for National, because that's been a bit of a hot topic for a lot of our listeners in the last couple of weeks. So National's finally got a candidate for Auckland Central about 5 weeks out from the election. We've got Emma Mallow sitting in that that candidacy role now. There have been some allegations of unpleasantness in the selection process targeting one of the female candidates over the last couple of days. Are you comfortable with the way the selections process has rolled out at the moment, Paul?
Look, it's been untidy at times, and I think as our leader Judith Collins has made clear, it's ultimately that the management of selections is a matter for the party administration, so we don't get directly involved in that. Obviously, the goal and the desire is that they're conducted in the best possible manner, and in a modern sort of world of social media, sometimes things are said that they shouldn't be said. And so, but the good news is that we've got through the process as quickly as we can, recognising that there was a late decision by Nikki Kaye to resign. And we've got a great candidate in Emma Mallow. I think she'll be good out on the campaign and working very hard to focus on the party vote, which is the critical thing for the election, but also to hold Auckland Central.
Well, what do you think could be done, Paul, by MPs to tidy up politics? Because this kind of, I guess, unpleasantness, wherever it comes from, does put people off. It puts people off engaging in the voting level, but also at a level of wanting to join politics. How do you make it more accessible for women and people who might feel a little bit marginalised in those spaces? What do you think needs to be done?
Oh, well, I think all politicians of all shapes and stripes and sizes from all different parts of the political spectrum face this challenge. It can be a very brutal environment, and people can say some pretty terrible things. I'm out and about on the campaign, and already a couple of times there's been very offensive graffiti written on my signs, presumably from people from the other side, and it can be a very, very difficult environment. And society pays a price for that, of course, because you're right, fewer people put their hand up to be involved in politics. Overall, actually, I think the broader public is actually pretty friendly and benign.
Within politics itself, how do we change that? Within the culture that exists in Parliament and in parliamentary parties and political parties, how do we change that, in your opinion, Paul?
Well, you just look at it's basic sort of principles that you need to constantly reinforce, which is to treat people with respect. And that's an approach that I personally take, and we do our very best to keep that way. And we're not, nobody lives in a perfect world, and so things sometimes don't happen that should happen. So all I can say is that's something that we're focused on, and every party has its difficulties in that area. But the good news in Auckland Central is that we've got through the process and got a great candidate.
Mm. Well, I just wanted to very briefly touch base on the law and order policy that National announced yesterday. It's going to be tough on gangs. There has been some criticism of it, that it's kind of coming for the product of a situation rather than the causes of a situation itself. What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Oh, well, look, I think, New Zealanders have a basic expectation and that the critical role of government is to maintain law and order. and that's why it's important for us to do that and to have the investment in law enforcement to make sure that that happens and to take a no-nonsense approach to people who peddle drugs and mayhem. And so that's why there's a real focus in that area. And we'll be pushing pretty hard on that, and we make no apologies for it.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Paul, especially on a bit of a weird day like today. Hope you take care, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for speaking with us.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.